Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Office of National Drug Control Policy. This download contains Director Walter's remarks from the release of the 2005 Monitoring the Future survey. The release took place at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on December 19th. Director Walter's was joined by officials from the National Institute on Drug Abuse and the University of Michigan.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you all for being here. Dr. Johnson, Dr. Lee, Karen Tandy, Administrator of DEA, this is a day to say thank you to the many people who have been working in our communities to reduce the use, the addiction, and the availability of illegal drugs. This survey, as Dr. Volkoff made clear, shows continuing efforts at decline, and I think it's important to remember where we've come in this effort and not take progress for granted. I have a summary of some of the changes you've seen here. We had a steady decline from the peaks of drug use at the end of the 70s and early 80s, measured by this survey and others. Dramatic declines that bottomed out at the beginning of the 90s. At that point in this chart, you see drug use by young people, which is where this starts, where the risk of addiction increases at the younger and more the earlier and more greater magnitude of that use, doubled virtually between the period of the early 90s and the mid-90s. Then it went down and it bounced around. This survey that was looking at some of the headlines of the earlier press releases talking about some drugs abating and ecstasy increasing, increases and decreases as we went along a kind of plateau. And I think the concern by many was that drug use by young people had stabilized at a level twice the level we saw in the early 90s. And the question is, could this decline? These are the recent peaks of drug use across multiple categories, as you see in some of the press releases. And we have had, since 2001, a steady decline. And we're pleased to announce today that that decline not only continues, but that some particular drugs that have been of concern have had remarkable changes. Methamphetamine use by 8th, 10th, and 12th graders combined dropped by about one-third since 2001. Lifetime drop was 34%, past year drop 30%, past month drop 36%. Steroid use is down 38% for lifetime, 37% for past year, and 30% for past month use. These are one, as Nora said, of a variety of drugs that we now pay attention to, unlike some of the times in the past. There are serious substances of abuse, but some of these have affected our communities greatly and are particular concern to young people. You see the declines here on these two charts over here of the rates in terms of steroid and meth. Overall drug use continues to decline. As Nora said, the combined 8th, 10th, and 12th grader decline since 2001 is 19%, and translates into 700,000 fewer young people using drugs, illegal drugs today than in 2001. As you know, the president set a goal, a two-year goal of a 10% reduction, which we've exceeded, and a five-year goal of a 25% reduction, which we will reach the five-year mark, of course, next year. Marijuana, as Dr. Volkoff said, continues to be the most commonly used illicit drug, yet usage rates are declining. Marijuana use dropped in all three categories, lifetime, past year, and 30-day use. Current use of marijuana decreased 28% among 8th graders, 23% among 10th graders, 10% among 12th graders for the 2001 to 2003 period, the 2005 period, sorry. We've also seen dramatic declines that I think show the advantages of a balanced strategy in hallucinogens, LSD, and ecstasy. These drugs are down nearly two-thirds during this period. Again, I point out that during the period from late 90s to 2000, ecstasy was an enormously growing drug, a concern that it was an area where kids felt it was safe and it was fun. And we did both a combination of educational efforts in communities, in the media, with our partners, the Partnership for Drug-Free America, and DEA and law enforcement working with foreign governments attacked the sources of ecstasy from abroad. These 60-plus percent drops here, and as we've seen elsewhere in adult surveying, are a measure of what can be done when supply and demand work together in the balance we all seek. In addition, as Dr. Volkoff mentioned, and as the study shows, the use of alcohol and cigarettes also is down dramatically, down for various rates and quantities of use. This is important, and I think it also is important for people who have a general view out there that there's a kind of level of substance abuse in our society, and that we are silly if we think that we can change that for young people, that if one thing goes up, another thing goes down. If one thing goes down, another thing goes up. Across the board, we're having sustained declines. And I will point out that when illegal drug use, when marijuana use was going up in the mid-90s, we also saw cigarette smoking and other kinds of behaviors that were a problem. We've also seen declines in some drugs that have been a particular concern. Club drugs, not only ecstasy, but Rohypnol, the so-called date rape drug, GHB, and ketamine. Cocaine has remained stable across all prevalence rates, and the number of heroin users has also remained relatively low, but it remains a concern, obviously, across these areas. These are relatively small, as is meth in these categories, but obviously the danger of these substances, especially for young children, is something we pay attention to carefully. Now, the points of concern I want to echo, obviously prescription drug use has remained a problem. We've seen this with adults as increasingly the diversion of prescription pharmaceuticals that are beneficial and helpful in so many ways to relieve pain and other forms of medical conditions have increasingly become a substance of abuse. We do not believe that we have to make people sicker or in more pain to control this. We do believe we have to pay more attention, and my office has been working with HHS, with the medical community, with DEA, FDA, to help improve medical education, to help improve the ability of states to monitor diversion, to prevent people from harming themselves with beneficial medicines. That obviously needs to continue in these findings. We are also concerned that funding reductions by the Congress in one of our most important prevention tools, the Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign, is a dangerous precedent for weakening our efforts in the future. This is a campaign where we join with the media. The media provides us 2 units of time and space for every unit we buy. We have worked with the private sector, with medical and youth professionals, with the best minds in advertising, to provide the most powerful messages we could. We believe that has substantial and demonstrable contributions to the declines we've seen since 2001. We cannot continue to do this effectively if funding continues to decline, and we've alerted Congress to this fact. We think these results are a reminder that these contributions make a difference in the media. They buttress what goes on in communities. They buttress what we do with supply, but they need to continue, and they need to continue forcefully. I'd like to close by thanking again the people in our communities, the people here and abroad working on international drug trafficking and supply, the people providing help in our classrooms and in the after-school work and in the time to educate and nurture young people. That makes a difference one child at a time. And sometimes for them, I know they believe that, is that one child at a time enough? Are we losing more than we're gaining? These survey results show that while there is still work to do, their work has been richly profitable to this nation and continues to show declines that are critical and in recent times been sought so desperately, and we are now realizing that goal. So I'd like to thank them in particular, as well as my colleagues who have produced this material and help us to guide our policies and know where we are as a nation. Thank you very much.